Title: William Legg, 2nd Earl of Dartmouth, letter signed to Thomas Gage, January 27th, 1775, Whitehall, London. From the Thomas Gage Papers, English Series, William L. Clements Library, University of Michigan. Transcription: Whitehall, January 27th, 1775. Secret. Sir, although your letters by the Scarborough represented the affairs of the province under your government in a very unfavorable light, and stated an opposition to the execution of the law which marked a spirit in the people of a dangerous and alarming nature, yet as they did not refer to any facts tending to shew that the outrages which had been committed were other than merely the acts of a tumultuous rabble, without any appearance of general concert, or without any head to advise or leader to conduct that could render them formidable to a regular force, led forth in support of law and government, it was hoped that by a vigorous exertion of that force, conformable to the spirit and tenor of the king's commands signified to you in my several letters, any further insults of the like nature would have been prevented, and the people convinced that government wanted neither the power nor the resolution to support its just authority, and to punish such atrocious offenses. Your dispatches, however, entrusted to Mr. Oliver, and those which have been since received by the schooner St. Lawrence, and through other channels, relate to facts and state proceedings that amount to actual revolt, and shew a determination in the people to commit themselves at all events in open rebellion. The king's dignity and the honor and safety of the empire require that, in such a situation, force should be repelled by force. And it has been His Majesty's care not only to send you from hence such reinforcement of the army under your command as general considerations of public safety would admit, but also to authorize you to collect together every corps that could be spared from necessary duty in every other part of America. It is hoped, therefore, that by this time your force will amount to little less than 4,000 effective men, including the detachment of marines that went out in the men of war that sailed in October last. And I have the satisfaction to acquaint you that orders have been given this day for the immediate embarkation of a further detachment of 700 marines and of 3 regiments of infantry and 1 of light dragoons from Ireland. The regiments of infantry will be completed by recruits to their full establishment, and the regiment of light dragoons will be augmented 18 men a troop, that is to say 9 men to be drafted with their horses from the other regiments of light cavalry in Ireland, and 9 men without horses from the light dragoons in England. It is further directed that the number of men wanting to complete the regiments now with you, according to your last returns, which amounts in the whole near to 500, should be raised by drafting 1 a man a company from each of the regiments in Ireland, which will amount to about 200, and by drafting 1 man a company from some regiments here, which will make about 60 more, and the remaining 240 to be raised by recruiting in Ireland form the number which, after the other mode of supply, will be wanted for each regiment. You will observe that 9 men in each troop of the regiment of light dragoons will be without horses, and a large allowance must also be made for the loss of horses in the passage. It will therefore be necessary that ample provision of horses be made, and you will not fail to take the earliest and most effectual measures for securing a number not less than 200 and preparing them for service upon the arrival of the regiment. I understand a proposal has been made by Mr. Ruggles for raising a corps of infantry from among the friends of government in New England. Such a proposal certainly ought to be encouraged, and it is the king's pleasure that you should carry it into effect upon such plan as you shall judge most expedient. It appears that your object has hitherto been to act upon the defensive, and to avoid the hazard of weakening your force by sending out detachments of your troops upon any occasion whatsoever, and I should do injustice to your conduct and to my own sentiments of your prudence and discretion if I should suppose that such precaution was not necessary. It is hoped, however, that this large reinforcement to your army will enable you to take a more active and determined part, and that you will have strength enough not only to keep possession of Boston, but to give protection to Salem and the friends of government at that place, and that you may without hazard of insult return thither, if you think fit, and exercise your functions there, conformable to His Majesty's instructions. I have already said, in more letters than one, that the authority of this kingdom must be supported, and the execution of its laws enforced. And you will have seen in His Majesty's speech to both Houses of Parliament, and in the addresses which they have presented to His Majesty, the firm resolution of His Majesty and Parliament to act upon those principles. And, as there is a strong appearance that the body of the people and at least 3 of the New England governments are determined to cast off their dependence upon the government of this kingdom, the only consideration that remains is, in what manner the force under your command may be exerted to defend the Constitution and restore the vigor of government. It seems to be your idea that matters are come to such a state that this is not otherwise attainable than by an absolute conquest of the people of the three governments of Massachusetts Bay, Connecticut, and Rhode Island, and that such conquest cannot be effected by a less force than 20,000 men. I am persuaded, sir, that you must be aware that such a force cannot be collected without augmenting our army in general to a war establishment. And though I do not mention this as an objection, because I think that the preservation, to Great Britain, of her colonies, demands the exertion of every effort this country can make, yet I am unwilling to believe that matters are as yet come to that issue. I have stated that the violences committed by those who have taken up arms in Massachusetts Bay have appeared to me as the acts of a rude rabble without plan, without concert, and without conduct. And therefore, I think that a smaller force now, if put to the test, would be able to encounter them with greater probability of success than might be expected from a greater army, if the people should be suffered to form themselves upon a more regular plan, to acquire confidence from discipline, and to prepare those resources without which everything must be put to the issue of a single action. In this view, therefore, of the situation of the king's affairs, it is the opinion of the king's servants, in which his majesty agrees, that the first and essential step to be taken towards re-establishing government would be to arrest and imprison the principal actors and abettors in the provincial congress, whose proceedings appear in every light to be acts of treason and rebellion. If regardless of your proclamation, and in defiance of it, they should presume again to assemble for such rebellious purposes, and if the steps taken upon this occasion be accompanied with due precaution, and every means be devised to keep the measure secret until the moment of execution, it can hardly fail of success, and will perhaps be accomplished without bloodshed. But however that may be, I must again repeat that any efforts of the people, unprepared to encounter with a regular force, cannot be very formidable. And though such a proceeding should be, according to your own idea of it, a signal for hostilities yet, for the reasons I have already given, it will surely be better that the conflict should be brought on upon such ground than in a riper state of rebellion. It must be understood, however, after all I have said, that this is a matter which must be left to your own discretion, to be executed or not as you shall, upon weighing all circumstances, and the advantages and disadvantages on one side and the other, think most advisable. I have fully exposed to you the grounds upon which the proposition has been adopted here, and unless the situation of things shall be very different from what they at present appear to be, it is considered as the best and most effectual means of vindicating the authority of this kingdom. Some attention must be given to the consideration of what it may be fit to do with all those who shall be made prisoners in consequence of this proceeding. And here I must confess the little hope I have that in the present situation of things, and the temper of the people, they could be prosecuted to conviction. Their imprisonment, however, will prevent their doing any further mischief, and as the courts of justice are at present not permitted to be opened, the continuance of that imprisonment will be no slight punishment. I have mentioned this measure as having the probable effect to become a test of the people's resolution to resist. But there are other cases that must occur, in which the affording the assistance of the military will probably become unavoidable. The recommendation of the General Congress that committees in the several provinces should be appointed to carry into execution the Association for Non-Importation, and that they should take into their possession all ships arriving in the American ports after the 1st of December, and should dispose of their cargoes in the manner, and for the purposes stated in the resolutions, encourages acts of so illegal and arbitrary a nature that every effort must be made to protect the commerce of the kingdom and the property of the king's subjects from such outrageous insults. And if, in any such case, the assistance be afforded with vigor and celerity, I trust not much will be hazarded in the execution, even should the attempt encourage the people to take up arms, seeing in this, as well as in the other case, their efforts of resistance must be made without plan or preparation. In such an event as I have here supposed, it must be considered also that any efforts of resistance on the part of the people will be the less to be feared, as the scene of action, if it should come to extremities, must be in situations where the naval force, which will receive immediate and considerable augmentation, may be brought to act in aid of the army with full effect. I sincerely wish that the information which we have received of the state of the province would enable me to instruct you upon every case in which you may wish to receive such instruction. But in a situation where everything depends so much upon the events of the day and upon local circumstances, your conduct must be governed very much by your own judgment and discretion. What I have said will point out to you with precision the idea entertained here of the manner in which the military force under your command may be employed with effect. It remains only for me to suggest to you whether it may not be advisable if there should be an evident intention on the part of Connecticut and Rhode Island to support the inhabitants of Massachusetts Bay in their rebellious conduct, that the fortifications upon the island in front of the town of Newport and the battery at New London should be dismantled. It may also be advisable to bring away the cannon and stores belonging to that battery, and deposit them in some place of security, a service which, I conceive, may very easily be effected by the Admiral without the aid of any detachment from the army. And you will do well to consider whether it may not be practicable to recover into the King's possession those cannon and stores which have been taken away in so extraordinary a manner from the fort at Newport. With regard to the state of America in general, affairs there are now come to a crisis in which the government of this country must act with firmness and decision. The accounts of what has already passed in Parliament on the subject of America will probably reach you through other channels as early as you can receive this letter, and I make no doubt they will be accompanied with every misrepresentation and exaggeration that can have the effect to encourage in the people more desperate measures. You will therefore be more than ever on your guard, and upon no account suffer the inhabitants of at least the town of Boston to assemble themselves in arms on any pretense whatever, either of town guard or militia duty. And I rather mention this, as a report prevails, that you have not only indulged them in having such a guard, but have also allowed their militia to train and discipline and Faneuil Hall. In reviewing the charter for the government of the province of Massachusetts Bay, I observe there is a clause that empowers the governor to use and exercise the law marshal in time of actual war, invasion, or rebellion. The enclosed copy of a report made to me by the Attorney and Solicitor General contains an opinion that the facts stated in the papers you have transmitted are the history of an actual and open rebellion in that province, and therefore I conceive that according to that opinion, the exercise of that power is strictly justifiable. But the expedience and propriety of adopting such a measure must depend upon your own discretion under many circumstances that can only be judged of upon the spot. I am, sir, your most obedient, humble servant, Dartmouth. Arrived on the sloop of War Falcon, April 16th, 1775.